All right, Alan, I met you, it's been 10 years ago at least.
Probably. At my age, I'm losing track of time.
Yeah, but I had heard about you a lot, even prior to meeting you, and it was really, really a great chance for me to meet you.
You must spend a lot of time at the post office.
What was your expertise that defined you more in the funeral industry than any other?
Danny, God has blessed me in a number of ways. He's given me a specific skill set relative to accounting, specifically with accounting theory. And so when I look at a set of books, it speaks to me. I can tell what's going on. Sometimes I can even pick up an embezzlement. So that's part of it. But that's just a skill set, all right? Prior to joining Funeral Service in 1980, I worked for a company that was a very aggressive, small private company, very, very wealthy, probably top 1%. And their business, if you boiled it all down, they didn't say it this way, but they tended to buy distressed businesses and fix them up and resell them. And they had businesses in any industry you can think of, whether it be oil and gas leasing or banks or we had a printing company, we had a candy company, et cetera, et cetera. So they became the two guys that owned it became extremely wealthy through this process. And I was hired right out of accounting school, just as I got my CPA certificate, to be a project manager. They didn't give people titles, but I think that's the best thing for people to understand. And so they would assign projects. I think there were six of us in that particular group. And they'd pick up a company, buy a company, and they'd come in on a Monday morning, say, and say, we just acquired this company that manufactures candy. Go figure it out.
What did you find in that particular situation or those situations made it easy for you to recreate a business or make it better to sell it?
Well, the variety of businesses I had to deal with was a key. It's like, because none were really alike. And so I discovered another gift, and that is that I was able to use my accounting skills and my analytical skills to very, very quickly figure out what had gone wrong with these companies and what needed to happen to fix it. And I've kept those to today. And that's why I say they're God-given. I don't know that I actually went to school for that. But
Most people don't like talking about themselves anyway. But what was the most common denominator in failed businesses?
Losing your way is the way I phrase it. You know, the technique was to go back to where things changed. You know, if you had a successful business, what happened? Why is it not successful? Did your market change? Did you change? Did you take your eye off the ball? Did you get a new competitor and so on and so forth? And once you figured that out, then you could pretty much focus in on what you needed to do. And then the problem then became how you were going to need to do it. So
for how long?
That's an interesting question, because most of the business recoveries I've been involved in took anywhere from 2 years or less, not less than maybe 6 months. If it's going to take you more than 2 years, something else is wrong. And they're very predictable. And once you find that trigger, and it's not just finding the trigger. So today, to apply that to funeral service, and I do that a lot, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, we had a very simple product, extremely simple. Most consumers had only two decisions they had to make. Which funeral home am I going to use, and what merchandise am I going to buy? Because outside forces dictated what they were going to do. Everybody knew they were going to have a viewing, they were going to have a funeral service. Whether that was at the funeral home or the church, didn't matter. They're going to have one. They're going to have process to the cemetery, and they were going to bury. Today, it's extremely complicated. You don't know. And the variety of things that happens is such that you really have to stand back and look at it. And so my task, or at least my predisposition, is to look at funeral service and say, hey, what are the common denominators? And that's exactly what you you have asked me.
The applications that you would put into place to help restore a failing business.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the applications when they relate to funeral service?
Well, controlling cash is probably the first one. That's also the easiest one because that's just setting up a system of being able to monitor it and adjust things accordingly, okay? But I think the driving factor, and this has to do with funeral service, is figuring out what the customer is buying instead of thinking about what you're selling. Most often, what I've found is customers are actually buying what they don't understand themselves. And I was instrumental in doing a research project in funeral service about 6 years ago, 8 years ago maybe, that really told us it simplified, boiled down to two things. And those two things have to do with having to change the perspective the public holds funeral homes in, all right? And that has led to conclusions, and we don't have time to talk about it, but for instance, that most funeral homes are built inside out. And by that I mean that the public areas are usually very restrained lighting, subdued, quiet. And so the consumer actually calls that, they actually refer to it as a lonely, lifeless tomb. And then the second part of that is, what is the common or most universal thing that people want? And that turns out is extremely universal. And it really doesn't matter whether they want what the disposition is, whether cremation or burial, whether they have caskets, whatever, is they don't want to come out of that experience feeling the same way they went in. And for the person who is dying or deceased in their family, they want affirmation that that person's life mattered.
So you were talking, and we've talked in our previous podcast about different things.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned average ticket.
Yeah.
Now, when making a family know that their loved one's life mattered doesn't necessarily mean an expensive casket. It may mean just the revelation of them laying there in a peaceful repose as opposed to the way they last saw them at a hospice home. You referred to that. So from an accounting standpoint,
uh-huh,
if you lowered an average ticket of one of these failing firms, does that help? Does that change anything, or how does that affect something?
Well, you're distinguishing two pieces, okay? One is controlling your operating results. And that's critical. I can't do anything unless we can do that first. But the second part really has to do with your marketing strategy. And I, because of my background, I had to do that. I mean, literally, these guys would throw you into the mix, and it was up to you to sink or swim. I've never lost a patient, but I've seen people lose patients. So the point I want to make is that the first order of business in a failing business is to get your financial act together, because you can't do anything until you do that. And that can happen relatively swiftly, not in overnight, but within a 6 month period, you can fix it. If you can't fix it, you're going to know real quick and stop trying. But the second part is to say, all right, if I have to help people, if I know that what I'm selling or what I'm providing is helping people confirm or affirm that someone's life mattered, it changes the whole thing. In your terms, the casket used to be the primary prop.
Right.
Okay. It no longer is. And in fact, I, at the risk of offending people, and I'm sorry if it does, I've been in funeral service 4 decades. I've never made peace with caskets. My personal casket is a Pembroke Cherry. Okay, so I'm not saying I don't want a casket. But what I am saying is that has never, in my mind, been the central theme, ever been the central
theme. If I know you well enough, it's the service.
Well, people use that word too often in funeral service. Service is really not so much this Ritz-Carlton type white glove treatment as much it is helping people achieve what is going to be meaningful to them. So remember, I said a minute ago, people don't want to leave this experience the same way they came in.
Okay.
They want to be transformed. Transformed is an extremely important word. So whatever you can do to accomplish that and do it correctly. And so when I say correctly, it is situational. It is customizable to each person. And yet, at the same time, you have to be very aware of what you are capable of doing at a cost that you can afford to do. So you can't do these dramatic funerals, first of all, because most people don't want them, but secondly, because most funeral homes can't afford to do them, but you can do a whole lot. You can do more than you can ever imagine, even partly, and we've talked about this, you and I, by how significantly you are able to engage the family in the course of this process.
So if I was 10-year owner, 15-year owner of a business, and we all of a sudden we're struggling a little, and I am basically talking about the low-cost provider down the road is my competition and taking calls away from me, and I'm trying to pinpoint that's what my cause. I am now looking at a succession, and I'm thinking about selling the business, and I call you. Are you going to be able to help me discern whether I want to fight this low-cost provider, build my business back up a little bit in a different way, or just sell now?
Wow, that's a multivariate question, because without making a big deal out of it, I am always looking to determine whether you got enough fire left in your belly to do it, because this recovering a business is really a young man's game. So the truth of the matter is that if you or your colleagues have lost a dramatic amount of volume to a low-cost provider, you and your colleagues have failed to make the case for value. All right? I'm not putting my finger on any given individual. I'm just saying that people choose price when they see things as a commodity, and you have failed to show them that it's not a commodity. All right? Now, having said that, there are things you can do, not without work, that are going to bring some of that business back. And the one trait that you need to accomplish that is courage. And by courage, I mean you're going to make some tough decisions about how you run your business. In my experience, and it's substantial, spending your days fretting about the low-cost provider and trying to compete with the low cost is a zero-sum game. You are not going to win, and it really doesn't matter. But there may be circumstances. I was just looking at one of these the other day where that person has come in, and it is clearly evident that they're not sustainable. Their debt level and strategy is such that if they don't burn themselves to a cinder, they aren't going to be able to sustain it economically. It's going to hurt the heck out of you for a while, but ultimately it is going to go away. So there's all kinds of environmental factors to think about. I can't look at a corner of a picture and not see the whole picture and be of value to you.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time today in this podcast, and I want to make sure anybody that's listening understood where you started and how you got here. But when people talk about Alan Creedy, they are talking about knowledge that I was really glad that I had the experience to use and have you help me. And even since that time, had conversations with other funeral directors and sending them to you and having conversation with that. So thank you, Alan.
You're very welcome.